Welcome to Hard Reboot. I'm Matt.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Alan.
And my voice did a weird thing. Today we're doing another one of our yearly trips down the horror genre, where we slam together H.P. Lovecraft and Jules Verne. It's our Verne-craft.
Scary Verne-craft is traversed down our spine.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. This is the first time we're doing it on purpose, though, right?
No.
Or last second year we time. Did. We did? Okay.
Yeah, last year was on purpose.
Last year we did a pulp horror TV show.
Okay, I meant, you know what? I have been off this whole week. I meant to re-listen to those episodes, and oopsie doodle, I did not.
Yeah, no, you and me both, buddy. I had to re-familiarize myself with this, like, right before we started.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't remember. One of them was Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yep.
And that was our first one that got, like, accidentally Cthulhu, and that's when we're like, oh, what if we did this thing? Okay.
Yeah, yes.
And then the last one was the Invasion of the Sea.
Yeah, we did that as the TV show where they're in the desert, in the Sahara Desert, making an ocean.
Okay, and then we sort of backdoor tied the ARG game.
Yeah,
to
the
it.
Around the world in 80 days.
Yeah,
we retroactively made that a thing.
Right. Okay. So cool. What are we doing today then?
So today we randomly rolled last time. So today
apparently.
We're doing. Yeah, we did.
Been a minute since we recorded. I had to go away for 2 weeks, so whenever anything changes, everything changes, so here we are.
And we're still getting back on schedule. Yeah. It's a thing. So we randomly rolled, and we came up with one called The Adventures of Captain Hatteras, which is probably one of Verne's less well-known works, but it's going to be a ton of fun, I promise.
I think
In the French, it was known as Voyage et Adventures du Captain Hatteras. But the reason I bring up the French is it was split into two parts, English at the North Pole and the Desert of Ice.
So there are two books?
Two books in one.
Okay. Oh, I didn't read the plot summary.
So essentially it is a full novel that's split into two parts. So the first part is the English at the North Pole, and the second part is the Desert of Ice.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, here's a fun thing that I don't remember because, again, I did not listen to. I know the first one we did was just part of the regular loop, so we just did it regular style.
Yes.
How do we choose, like, the stuff? How do we choose, like, the – I know genre is, like, horror, like, pulp horror. They all kind of fit in that, but, like, how do we pick a medium again?
I think we just kind of decide. I think this one might be a movie. Because I think this is the origin story for all of this.
Okay. So the first one was a miniseries then, right?
The first one, yeah.
It was like a sci-fi.
It was a movie, but that was a miniseries, wasn't it?
That was a miniseries, so this,
I'm
so this
fix
is
that
a,
real fast.
A new bespoke medium.
Yeah,
made movies made exclusively for this podcast.
Let's do a quick recap here of our previous ones. We had the Adventure ARG that was Around the World in 80 Days that we just sort of backdoor piloted into the Verne-craft.
Yeah, we kind of been like, oh, I don't remember. I remember feeling and thinking it. I don't remember what was said in any way, but I remember us being like, that ties into this because we said so now.
Yeah, pretty much. Then we had the first one, Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yep.
A mini-series that just kind of made everything what it was. Set, I think, in between World War One and World War II.
Yeah, it's definitely war times. I don't remember 100% when.
I think if it wasn't in between, strictly in between, then it was like just as World War II was starting.
Yeah.
Because I think we might have had some Nazis in there, too. Because that's just... You know,
you got. I mean,
if
look,
it's pulp,
the easiest
you
things
Nazis.
To punch. Yeah,
and they're very good to punch.
Very good to punch, and they want to raise elder gods. That's just kind of what they do.
Yeah, because they're also dumb shits. In addition to being dumb shits.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the Invasion of the Sea TV series. That was
definitely
World War II because there were Nazis to be punched.
Gotcha. So we have like a. we've got like a place to live then for where this movie can be. Okay. Well, this, this movie would be like earlier than if it's the origin.
I was about to say, it's it's definitely pre-World War One.
Pre or concurrent? I would. We can have a conversation about that. But I had said pre earlier. But I think maybe in the middle of World War One could be interesting too.
Well, yeah, because I think it could be. So I guess we'll just jump right in. My thought of this is they are going to the North Pole in search of some sort of new power or weapon, because that's kind of what English does at that time, is they want new things to control.
I don't want it to be like a, maybe someone's there on purpose, but I want it to feel more like a, oops, adventure. Look what we found. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's going to be an origin story, I kind of like that too. Okay. So let's talk about the plot real fast. So basically there's this expedition led by Captain John Hatteras. It's a British expedition. They're going to the North Pole. Because this dumbass is convinced that the sea around the pole isn't always frozen.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he thinks that most of the time it's not frozen. At the North Pole, where the ice is?
It sounds like, yeah, when I first read it, it sounded like he got there and like, oh, look, it's not frozen. But no, it says he's convinced.
Eventually,
so he doesn't know.
Turns out he was right.
Half the time.
And finds an island called New America.
Because obviously a British person would name an island New America.
Well, so the French guy who wrote this book,
they found a previous expedition from the U.S., so that may have had something to do with it. Like, they found a U.S. ship.
Yeah.
And out of respect, they said, yeah, you can claim this island.
Yeah, we'll call it New America for you. Pour one out for the homies.
Presuming no one made it back to tell anyone about this island.
So, along the way, like, when they realized that, hey, no, it's actually frozen for half the year, his crew just mutinies.
Sure.
And their ship gets ruined. So they're just like, all right, I guess we're going on foot because it's frozen. There's a character we're going to talk about later named Dr. Clobany. Who?
It's a very funny looking name.
Yeah, yeah, Claw Bony. Bone Claw is ready. Thank you for that. Thank you for that pity laugh.
You're welcome.
It took me a second to catch up to it, but I got it.
But Clobany is also kind of the crazy inventor who makes an ice lens, bullets from frozen mercury, and repels attacks by polar bears with remotely controlled explosions of black powder.
And
I already kind of love this guy.
He remembers one time seeing an ice palace, like the plan for an ice palace in Russia, and is like, oh, we can build that here to make a house to live in.
But you're gonna have to rebuild it every 6 months because it'll melt.
Yeah. So eventually they get to the North Pole, and they discover that the North Pole is on an island, and it's an active volcano, and the pole itself is in the caldera.
Mm-hmm.
So just with that already, we have a potential tie-in to like the Hollow Earth thing that we established in Journey to the Center of the Earth. Mm-hmm. Basically, Hatteras goes insane in the caverns of the North Pole. So
he loses his soul and goes deaf mute, and is conscribed to an asylum with a dog. But he is constantly wandering, but not without direction, for he forever marches northward.
Except he just, like, goes around the streets of his asylum.
Yeah.
But going north.
But northways.
Yeah.
Which, after a certain point, you'd kind of have to stop going north.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that, like, the only time he comes back is when someone drags him backwards.
Probably. But even then, you're going to, like, reach a wall, and he's just, like, walking into a wall like he's a really confused video game character.
I love that image. So, I had thought at first that Dr. Clobany was going to be our villain, but with Hatteras going insane, I think maybe Clawbonny is the person who's eventually going to be like our Nick Fury.
So I kind of had a thought, because you had mentioned maybe having someone on the expedition who actually knew something was up and everybody else being like, oops. I think Dr. Clawbonny is the most likely candidate for knowing that something's going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe working for the English version of the SCP, like he knows something's out there, so he's dragging these unwitting idiots out there to confront it.
Well, I think it's like, it's Hatteras's plan to go. He's like, I'm going to go up to that, to the North Pole, because it's ocean, actually, I think.
Yeah.
Because we don't have satellites. No one can tell me otherwise. And I think Clawbonny just, like, gets his way on there because he's like, oh, yeah, I know all about what's up at the North Pole, but I want to, like, you know, no one else is going to go up there.
Right.
So this is how I got to get up there.
Okay. I dig that. So I think we need a villain. This is kind of why I said at the start that maybe we should place this at concurrent with World War One.
I have a thought about the villain.
Okay.
It may be very stupid.
I also had a thought about the villain, but okay. It's probably not stupid.
Horse spacesuit helmet?
No.
Well,
for me, I don't know about Alan's. No.
Because you actually like understand movie things and how they work. My thought is, what if there is no actual like antagonist? Like, there's no physical person who is the antagonist, but the story itself, like, basically, once they get there, that's how Cthulhu or whatever is dreaming beneath influences them to release it.
Well, it can't be Cthulhu, because I feel like we have Cthulhu already pegged as in the Bermuda Triangle. Gosh, I should have listened to those episodes, huh?
It's wherever it was somewhere in, like, the Caribbean.
It could be Yogg-Saggoth then, maybe. But basically, you have this eldritch entity that's like, hey, release me. And that's what drives Hatteras insane.
Yeah, I think that could work. I think, because, like, if we don't have a, like, typical antagonist, then you skirt the line of like, oh, are you making a movie or is it just going to be a weird shoegazy documentary kind of thing? But I, because we need conflict, but obviously there's a mutiny, so that happens. And I think if all this is caused by, I want to go with Dagon. I don't know if we've used Dagon yet.
I don't think we have.
We haven't yet.
He's a wet boy, right?
He is a wet boy.
He's a nasty wet boy.
Did we use Dagon in the Invasion of the Sea?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
If we did, it might be okay, because Dagon typically actually does just move, so.
Okay.
Like, she exists just in the world, like, in the oceans.
That's kind of why I mentioned Yogg-Saggoth, because Yogg-Saggoth is, like, the gate and the key and all of this stuff. So it's much more esoteric, and I think would kind of fit with the whole, there's a giant volcano.
Yeah, let's go with that, because I do not remember talking about that one at all.
Okay.
So yeah, and that way we can have it so it's not necessarily that, like, you're releasing me. It's just, like, if you get here and you unlock the whatever, then that is what allows everything to come back to the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, like, it's the origin in the sense that, like, the other movies wouldn't have happened because they would have been, like, permanently sealed if not for opening the key here.
Because Yogg-Saggoth is both the gate and the key.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
My idea for antagonist, and it would be more of a late game thing than anything, would be the captain of the American crew that got here first.
Okay.
Or, like, however many members of the American crew that got here first that, like, for whatever reason went insane and, like, couldn't open the door because they don't know how, or they went, like, too buggy. And so they're not really useful for anything other than, like, mindless violence.
Okay, I'm down with that. Because I was kind of thinking a second ago that what we could do is have almost like a Oh, what was it called? Not Event Horizon.
Solaris.
No, the one with Sam Neill.
The other black hole movie?
Was it a black hole? It was the one where they ended up on like a Warhammer ship.
Gosh, oh man, I don't remember that at
Sam
all.
Sam Neill space movie.
Horror. Space horror.
And no, that's Event Horizon.
That is Event Horizon? Okay.
Is Sam Neill.
So, in that one, they find like this colony
ship. Because they go to literal Christian hell.
Yeah, they find this, like a colony ship goes out, it vanishes, and then reappears around Saturn or Jupiter or some shit. A crew goes to examine it, and they go through hyperspace to literal, actual Christian hell, because that's where hyperspace takes you.
Sure.
The ship comes out looking like a Gothic cathedral, and Sam Neill rips out eyeballs.
I mean, to be fair, coming out looking like a Gothic cathedral is a major upgrade.
I mean, stylistically, it looks interesting, but it is.
That's
very
what weird. I mean. Like Gothic cathedrals are beautiful.
I think that's subjective.
It depends on how much you like Gothic architecture on your spaceships, yeah. Really.
I just love Gothic architecture. So, slap it on a spaceship—that's a great idea.
So my idea there is there's not actually a villain there. Like Sam Neill becomes the villain.
Right.
Well, and that's kind of what I was thinking with Hatteras, is the mutiny is because this influence is speaking to him, and maybe he does something that the crew is just like, whoa, that's way out of line. What are you thinking? What are you doing? And we could even play with the idea that he doesn't always remember what he's doing when he's under control of the voice or whatever. And then at the end, when he's in the asylum, he's not Hatteras anymore. He's just a vessel for Yogg-Sothoth.
Okay.
So I think we need to back up a little bit because I think we're talking about
we're
stuff
throwing
we don't
a
have
lot of
a frame
stuff at
for.
Walls.
Yeah. So like, what's the basic structure of our movie? Because like the three acts are: first act is getting there, second act is being there, but it's the desert, a nice desert sometimes, and the third act is like race to stop whomever from opening the gate,
right?
Which they lose. So we need to have some sort of hope spot, or else it's just like.
Would it be interesting to do a perspective shift partway through?
What
so,
do you
like,
mean?
You're following mostly Hatteras. Like, it's set up to where you think Hatteras is going to be basically the main character, but it turns out Claw Bunny is the main character-ish because Claw Bunny is the one that's chasing after Hatteras, being like, don't do this.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say either that or we have, like, some other, you know, deckhand character that we follow.
Or even one of the U.S. Folk that you were mentioning could be, well, like, tell the others that this is what's happening.
Yeah, they shouldn't be, I don't think we should main character any of them, because, like, if your main character shows up halfway through a movie, that's not good. Because, like, I like the idea that, like, you start off following Hatteras, then, like, he goes insane, and it's like, oh, just kidding, he wasn't the hero of the story. He was just a guy here. So, I mean, Claw Bunny could work. So if we want him to be, like, the Nick Fury, then this is, like, the Captain Marvel, right? Where you find out, like, why he's good at doing his job.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that could work. But then I don't think he should be the one that knows about what's up at the North Pole.
True.
Okay, what if it's then, because part of what we do here, you know, is we fix things to fit whatever we need them to be. So what if what we do there is Claw Bunny isn't actually like the scientist guy? He's actually just like a ranger almost, like a survivalist, like one of those guys. He's basically like early SAS, British SAS, and just got slipped in here to keep an eye on things.
He's like, his like unofficial title is like trail guide, basically. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. okay.
And so he can do all these things. Like, he can make bullets out of frozen mercury. He knows how to drive off polar bears with remote explosions. He can build an ice house because it's just an igloo, and you can do that if you know about
it. And people have been doing that for hundreds of years.
Yeah. And he knows how to make ice lenses. Like, he's just like, I don't know why y'all didn't learn this, you idiots. Y'all are coming to the north.
Yeah, he's just got a boat, bunch of dumbasses.
But then the actual science guy, we can make something else and even have him be like kind of crazy eventually. Like, he's functional enough that he can get the job done, but he's actually crazier than they think. So he knows all this stuff.
Ooh, what if the scientist is actually a cultist?
Okay.
For like the things beyond TM,
the elder gods,
and so he is a scientist, like, or she is, they are a scientist, that's their thing, but they are also really knowledgeable in the occult and the eldritch, so they're going with the express purpose of, hey, all of our texts say that Yog-Sothoth could be there,
right?
If that's so, let's do this. And they're the one that kind of gets Hatteras close enough that Yog-Sothoth,
like,
can interact.
Push him into the pit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
like
that. Yeah.
Yeah. I like having somebody on there that does that. It's like Hatteras is going there because of whatever, like, delusion, but like not delusion in the like clinical sense, but in the, like, I think there's a sea around the North Pole where it's the coldest, you know,
where the ice is.
Where all the ice comes. That's where ice is born, Hatteras. Come on, man.
It's born there and goes to die in Antarctica.
Yeah. So, but having somebody that's like, yes, let's go to the North Pole. Nothing sinister's up there. And I bet your cool ice ocean is there, probably. And it's like, well, actually, I would just like to get there so I can get somebody. And if I have to do it myself, so be it, to open up that door.
Yeah, but if I do it, then I can't serve Yog-Sothoth.
Exactly.
So
you gotta have
somebody else has gotta do it.
Yeah. I think we need to like, for Hatteras himself, we need to kind of like broaden his like ambition a little bit. Because like, if it's just like, I want to go to the North Pole, see if there's a lake there, is not really like,
okay.
Because then he'll get there and go, yep, that's a lake, let's go home.
Or like, nope. Oopsies, you know, I think we need something that is more manipulatable, right? Like,
yeah.
So they can keep, so the bad guy can keep pushing him to, like, do more bad stuff.
I wonder if this is another part of those areas where setting it in World War One would give us kind of a free out for that you could have it be like, oh, this is an expedition that he's undertaking to try to find another route that German vessels haven't filled yet.
Right, because, you know, if we go up in Kitty Corner, it's better somehow than just going straight there or something like that, yeah.
They'll never see us coming.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, it could just be as easy as that. We want to secure a different transport route.
Yeah, or even, like, you know, there's intelligence that the Germans have something, because like the thing about World War One that nobody really remembers, because like World War Two is the much sexier war, like World War One was when we invented like most terrible machines of destruction. Like, we didn't have tanks before then.
No. Mm-hmm.
Like, we didn't have machine guns before then. Can you imagine seeing a machine gun for the first time? That is a nightmare, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's this thing that literally mowed down every person I've ever met in my life. Like that's insane. So I think if having it, if like framing it to be like this way, there's a different route that they won't see. We can get to like some, maybe they have, like, if we go up and down, we can, there's a more advantageous position, or just like there's intelligence that the Germans want to do something up there. So we got to get up there first, because we can't let them do that. Who knows what they could do up there?
Yeah. They'll get all sorts of trouble.
Yeah.
That's really what a lot of World War One and World War Two and even colonialism in general was. Well, we can't let them get there.
We can't
first.
Let the other people do it. Yeah.
Well, and two, that was my mention of there's maybe something there that's useful. But that even, you know, the Germans are investigating it for this reason. There's a new source of power there. There's a new source of something.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reading up there we need to go check out. And maybe it's, like, all faked, and it's just like, no, there's nothing up here except for
Superman that island motorcycle. And the volcano.
Yeah. Yeah, and then also, like, an island and a volcano and a big gate that lets, you know, evil come back to the world. Like you know, unknowable evil come back.
But don't worry about it.
But, yeah, but what if the Germans get there? Who knows what they can do?
Also,
Maybe there's someone who's like, I think there's something like bad up there that the Germans want to unleash, you mm-hmm. know, and they're like, well, we'll go check it out no matter what. So.
Also, I like the idea that the gate is actually the caldera, like it is actually the inside of the volcano.
Yeah.
Like the runes and stuff have been inscribed on the inside. Because I think that could be a very pretty and interesting visual of looking yeah. down into the caldera. And into space and into the unknowable beyond.
You could even have a really trippy scene when the gate opens. So, like, all the lava in the pool climbs up the walls and fills mm-hmm. in runes as it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be a ton of fun. Okay. So, it seems like we have a pretty solid story here. We've only been going 28 minutes. So we need more. What else we got here? We got some people.
We got some people. I think Claw Bunny should be played by someone Inuit.
Okay.
I think they should be like on loan from the Americas or whatever.
Canada. You know. They'd be part of the Commonwealth still.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because like that, I feel like that would give them a much better reason for
knowing all that.
And also like everyone, please name two movies where an Inuit was the main character.
Yeah.
I can name one, and it's a racist lie movie.
I can't name even that one, so.
Nanook of the North, you've definitely heard of it. It's the whole thing is a sham.
I have actually heard of that. Yeah,
I have heard
right.
of it, but I never saw yep. it.
It's, don't think I wanna.
It's really interesting if you, like, when you watch it and you think that, like, it's a documentary, and then at the end they're like, this is mostly staged and fake to propagate things that didn't happen.
Oh, so, like what Disney did with the Lemmings.
Yeah. But like, you know, to real people.
And not, yeah, and racist yeah. and not just cute animals off a cliff.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But anyway, so
my other, I guess it's not a casting note, but my thought about the cultist, I don't want them to be like inherently evil necessarily. Like they truly believe that by opening the gate for Yog-Sothoth that they are saving the world. Like they will, you know, now granted it could be you save the world because you're burning it down and causing right. it to rebuild, but they truly believe that what they are doing is right, in heavy air quotes.
That's kind of tricky because if we go with the like by opening the gate, that's what lets everything else come back in. Like Cthulhu's asleep and will never come back. Dagon is just a floating eyeball somewhere that cannot come back to Earth. Like Earth is protected until we open this gate. Then like they have to either believe that something good will come of that. And I mean, I'm not against us trying to figure out what that is. But, like, it can't just be, like, I will do good by letting unknowable, you know, ancient gods come back.
So, my other thought with Yog-Sothoth is because Yog-Sothoth is a part of the past, the present, and the future. Like, it can see everything.
Sure.
So, maybe the idea is if we unleash Yog-Sothoth, we will be able to see how to win the war. Like, even something as limited as that.
Okay.
Like, if we go there and we do this thing and we ask the question, how do we win? It will give us the ability to win.
Right.
Okay.
But, of course, that's the monkey's
paw. There's a big
asterisk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just Googling.
The Sothoth?
Yeah. Oh, Randolph Carter. Actually met him. Randolph Carter is, like, H.P. Lovecraft's, like, only reoccurring protagonist. then he's seen some weird shit. I will do a Google on this on my own time. I used to be real into that stuff, and I have vague memories, and I'm like, maybe I should look into that stuff again. If only H.P. Lovecraft was a good writer. I think that's the main problem with all those stories, is that he is a really just, he's bad at doing a good job at exciting writing.
Mm-hmm. He can make a world like
his world building is like top notch. But yeah, it is like reading about paint drying.
Also, if he was just less racist,
not extraordinarily racist.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some buck wild shit that he thought. Anyway, skirting past that.
So basically, this cultist thinks if we ask the question, because Yog-Sothoth is the past, the present, and the future all in one.
Right.
It will give us the power, and it will give us the ability to win, but they don't stop to think about the other things that are with Yog-Sothoth.
Right. The initial boon that you get is like, it'll tell us how to win the war. Asterisk, this will also allow everything bad to come back and happen to Earth. So That's the part I'm not telling you about when I whisper into your dreams at night. Well, no, it shouldn't be able to whisper to anybody, right? Because it's not here. Because, like, okay, so this just kind of hit me. If the door is locked, then that means that Yog-Sothoth is also locked behind it. So nothing can get through until after it's there, unless it's like some sort of like,
unless the cultist is maybe doing a spell.
Well, the easy answer is we've already introduced Nyarlathotep in this world.
Right, but he also wouldn't be able to be here, right? Unless we need to think of like a series of exceptions.
Well, okay, so you're saying that opening this portal is what sets off everything else? That like everything nothing, spins out from here?
Yeah, like Earth is a no-fly zone until you open. It's like if we want to do a pre-prequel, it's like it's them shutting the gate in the caveman times.
Okay.
Right? Or in whenever times.
And that makes sense because, like, even in the Dunduit Horror, thank you, Wikipedia, about Yog-Sothoth, he knows where the old ones broke through of old and where they shall break through again. He knows where they have tread Earth's fields and where they still tread them and why no one can behold them as they tread.
So, my thought with Nyarlathotep is, okay, follow me on this world-building little mini-adventure.
Take me on an adventure, man. Paint me a tapestry.
So we're not going to lock people away in caveman times. We're going to lock people away in Egyptian times. And Nyarlathotep is basically going to get out of it by going like, I'm actually your god, not one of them.
Well, and even...
And his whole job isn't to serve the old ones. It's so chaos.
Right.
Like, he is an old one. But he's kind of like their Hermes.
Sure.
Well, and we can also kind of compare this to the Wheel of Time, when the Dark One was sealed away and the Forsaken...
I'd rather not.
and the Forsaken were bound to Sheol Ghul. The Forsaken got out. Like, the Forsaken could get out with force of effort. So maybe Nyarlathotep was sealed away, but the seal, it's closer to the edge of reality. Like, it's not as deep right. as the other one, so it's Nyarlathotep is able to pop out before it's sucked back in.
It's not necessarily a, like, when we close the gate, everything goes back to the other side. It's anything that wasn't on the other side gets stuck there. So if Nyarlathotep was just like still over here.
Yeah, chilling in the material plane.
Yeah, then like he's extremely limited comparatively. Yeah. But like, yeah.
Because his main source of power is cut off.
Yeah, and that way like the madness effect around the North Pole is like from Yog-Sothoth. And that was just like also that just kind of leaks out of like the big, you know.
Yeah, they didn't know how to seal out everything. They could seal out most of it.
Whatever wasn't over here. So, well, okay. So, like, the big stuff that we already took care of is stuck over there. But, like, not going to be for much longer.
And I think this could actually be explored within the movie by the cultist backstory and talking about, like, the books that they're reading and, like, the spells and the rituals. Because I think, like, you could go into, there were a bunch of rituals that they did in ancient Egypt to put everything to sleep to seal it away.
Right.
But in order for it to be sealed, it must be asleep.
Yeah, there had to be, like, a basically war against the Eldritch, you know, phase before they could seal everything, and then, like, whatever they missed, they were like, it doesn't matter.
And
good enough
for
now.
And it could be, I think, explored a little bit. I don't think it needs to be the focus of this movie, obviously. But I do think it could provide some really interesting and fun world building to examine that through the lens of the cultist and what the cultist shares.
Okay.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. Because there's going to be a point, there's a mutiny, right? That seems like end of act one kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where my big question is Captain Hatteras is mutinied. What do they do with him? Right? Because he's clearly alive at the end, so they don't just throw him overboard. And if they do, he finds his way back from the North Pole on foot, which is a tricky prospect. So do they just, like, toss him overboard and then, like, he shows up again later crazy and he unlocks the seal, or and then, like, they're like, oh, well, we can't hold him accountable. His brains is mashed potatoes now from Elder Gods.
Well, according to the plot summary, the mutiny results in the ship being destroyed and almost everyone except for Hatteras and a few others dying.
Okay, gotcha. So, obviously, Clawbunny,
he might just, like, once Hatteras goes insane, Clawbunny might just be like, I'm not gonna really interact with you. I'm just gonna make sure you survive.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna be the warning, like the public warning about coming.
You are
up
a
here.
Canary now, yeah. And we are in a big old coal mine. Yeah.
Obviously, the cultist survives.
Cultist gotta survive, and a couple other people who are, like, you know, various jobs on the ship. A bosun.
I mean, the navigator.
The cook.
If we want to play.
Treasure Island is in Antarctica.
It's a little nod to Treasure Island, just like the cook is a bad guy.
I mean, I don't know what episode number this is. We're in the 30s, right? I did say that at episode 100 we have to connect every single thing we've done together into the hard reboot shared universe.
The hard reboot Cosmere.
Yeah.
That's gonna be fun.
Hey, we got like six more years before that.
Oh, that's true. Whew. Hashtag goals.
What could also be interesting is if the cultist started, like, spreading his or their ideas. So, like, maybe the ones that survive are... Basically, what I'm asking is, do we want there to only be one person that's like, yeah, Yog-Sothoth, woo? Or do we want that idea to spread?
I mean, I think it needs to spread a little bit. But I think it needs to mostly be the... And there's got to be a point where we find out the cultist is the cultist. Like, until then, they are just, like, the science officer or whatever, you know? And I think, like, that's, like, the end of Act 2 is when they're like, oh, I wicked planned this. Like, I whispered in everybody's ears until they got Hatteras because I know he'd be the best person to get us up here. And, like, I was the one who hired Clawbunny because nobody else would survive without him and, like, all that. So.
Okay. I dig someone who's just, like, the chess master but also profoundly doesn't understand what his goal is.
Oh, yeah. He's a checkers master. Or he's a chess master, but he's playing checkers and he doesn't realize it. So he's like, oh, I moved all these pieces. It's like, well, that's all I had to do. Yeah, like, tick, 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 and your chess is gone because it's checkers, dummy.
Oh, I want to make a Kingdom Hearts 3 reference so hard, but Jake would literally come through the screen and kill me.
You're not far away, Matt, comparatively.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is like, I also love the idea of the cultist being, oh, me with my big galaxy brain, I did this and I'm awesome. And then having someone be like, think about what you just said for like 5 seconds. And yeah, have and it like, be right, kind of obvious that, uh-oh, this is not a good thing.
Yeah, like as soon as they like lay their plan out, Clawbunny's like, point of order, won't that all the bad stuff come back then? And they'll be like, Oh, poop. Oops. And then, you know, insane Captain Hatteras jumps in the volcano and human blood is the last thing it needed. And the reason nobody else got there is because they were all crazy. They didn't take care of themselves and they froze in, you know, the North Pole.
Mm-hmm. But Hatteras comes back to England alone. And, like, he is now the avatar of Yogg-Sothoth. Like,
I don't
he
think
is
he's
a
an
walking
avatar.
Vessel.
I don't know that he's a walking, like, vessel, no. Maybe, but I think maybe the canary in the coal mine might have been the right comparison. Like, he's now super sensitive to all this.
Yeah, and then we can bring that up when we make the Cthulhu Avengers movie. Because, like, Claw Bunny's got to come back, because Claw Bunny we can plug into the other things and be like, you know, he was there when the shit went down, so we, you know, he knows
how. But he's
how
never
to...
seen returning to England.
In the original? No. Don't have in the original? Anything at all.
Here was my thought, is that, like, once they have that moment of, oh, crap, you're right, this is bad, Hatterats, like, diving into the thing, there's the scene with the gate opening, like, the lava doing its thing.
Maybe instead
a massive explosion that whites out, and the next thing we see is an asylum in England in a wheelchair. And, like, it's from behind, and then Hatteras stands up out of it and starts walking north.
So what's the climax of the movie, then? The climax of the movie happens 1 minute before the end of the movie?
I think the actual climax is not the gate opening. I think that's, like, almost a B-plot. I think the real climax is happening, like, at the base camp or whatever. Like, the gate starts to open, and immediately all these sleeping, like, minions or creatures or whatever around the volcano start to wake up, and people are just like, oh, hey, no?
So we treat it like the end of a Metroid game, right? So the climax is at the volcano, but that's not, like, the end of the movie. And I think instead of having Hatteras jump into the volcano, right when Claw Bunny is like, hey, don't you think this is a bad idea, to the cultist, he's like, oh, actually, yeah, I didn't think of any of the other implications. I was too busy trying to think of how to get us all here. Then Hatteras just pushes him in the volcano. Because, like, he's crazy, but is driven to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that starts. Then we see the base camp. We see the things, you know, getting up. We see all this stuff happening. And then from there, it is a two or three, depending on how many side characters we decide to keep and who we like and all that, because we haven't really thought of any of them. It's Hatteras and Claw Bunny doing the Metroid escape, where, like, oh, the volcano's about to explode with evil and there's demons popping up all over the place, like, here. We need to get away. And so it's them escaping. And then at some point we have Claw Bunny, like, secretly drop Hatteras off at an institution as sort of a, like, hey, I'll know when shit gets really weird, because clearly he will be talking about it. I'm going to keep an eye on him.
Okay. I like that. I want to make a slight modification, because I feel like there's a chance to do something here that... what are they called?
Puffins.
Okay, so I want to do something to give us a little bit of room to kind of stretch in the mythos down the line. And I think this might be a good place to insert them.
Okay.
So what I'm thinking is, like, I like the Metroid ending. And I like that, like, a lot of the cultists that have survived are getting picked off by, like, Children of the Deep or whatever those things are called.
Right.
Like, just
Deep Ones.
Deep ones. And maybe even little just hints that things are waking up elsewhere. Like, we could see something, like, off in the distance where just, like, Dagon, like, pops up and then sinks down. Like, just part of this, like, ice shelf just crumbles and something goes away.
We just show a shot of the Bermuda Triangle where the miniseries took place. We show
and
the
that, like,
scene,
rifts
the desert
in the
scene.
Sky just start ripping open, and
yeah,
so, like, I even see reality just bending, like, as they're running, some of the cultists maybe are literally physically stuck in the mountain. Like, the mountain just started to swallow them. So you see, like, an arm sticking out of the mountain.
So, yeah, and I want both of those. And, like, Shoggoths are popping up. It is literally an apocalypse in motion. Alan, I might have to just say what I'm thinking and see if you can help me. Okay. So there was a story where the main character discovered that these extraterrestrials from the mythos, but from the future, were like swapping consciousness back in time. They were like giant floating pyramids. They weren't Migos.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of it.
Basically, they're these like, it's a super advanced race in the future, and they have a right. habit of coming back in time and fixing things and learning things.
Okay.
So what I'm thinking is, like, an apocalypse is actually happening at the end of this movie, right? Like, the gate right. is open, bad shit is out. And as they're running, as Clobany and Hatteras are running, Hatteras turns around, and we get almost like a Lot's Wife kind of moment, where Hatteras turns around and freaks out. Like,
yeah,
sees it all, understands it all, and like when the camera cuts over, we see it all for just a minute, but then above the volcano, we see a couple of these like little pyramid things show up,
yeah.
and then light flares out, and that's when we cut over to the asylum. So Clawbunny okay. never saw it. He just saw something happen. Like, something just changed.
Right. So Hatteras turns around, sees the pyramid guys, like, hey, we're going to put some duct tape on this real quick.
Yeah.
But when Clawbunny turns around, he just looks at Hatteras real quick, and then it's too late, and then the thing happens. Okay.
And I kind of like that, because then you can end it and maybe have like a really neat visual indicator. So maybe like one of his pupils is shattered. So like the yeah. black starts to seep into the iris, or maybe even the pupil is now shaped like a keyhole or something, like
triangular or something.
Triangular, something interesting about the eye shape or something that happened to the eyes. And that's the last shot of the movie, is that the camera zooms in and focuses on the eyes, and then they blink, and that's the end.
I like that.
I think we definitely need, before the end, there has to be something with Clawbunny, like, not like in disguise, but like, you know, with a big hat and trench coat on so no one recognizes him.
And a false
him.
Mustache.
No, that's stupid.
or a space helmet.
Yeah, let's put him in a space helmet. He can be on a horse at a insane asylum check-in desk.
Yep. I heard that you were supposed to dress for the part.
It's just got to be him, like, checking in, like, yeah, I'm leaving him here. This is, like, where I can be reached, you know. If he does anything weird, let me know. And then that way we can set up the, like, what he's doing from here on out is going around the world and trying to find all the mythos that he can to, like, figure out how to stop it when it starts happening.
Mm-hmm. And the post-credit sequence could be, like, because he's deaf and mute, supposedly. Like, Hatteras just
I doubt
is
they
unresponsive.
Asked him. Yeah.
But, like, as the post-credit sequence, maybe he writes one word, and that word is Dagon, or Cthulhu, or, like, Bermuda, or, like, something that hints at the next piece.
Okay, so, what he sets up shouldn't be the stuff we've already seen, then, because this will be at least third in the, like,
but it could be, like, a list. It could be, like, Yogg-Sothoth, the Cthulhu thing from Journey to the Center of the Earth,
ooh,
Dagon from Invasion of the Sea, and then...
Okay, here's what it should be.
Okay.
Maybe the end credit sequence is that, but before he, so when Clawbunny's checking him in, it's on Clawbunny, like, his name is Captain Hatteras, he was on an expedition, he went snow crazy, so, you know, something like that, whatever excuse he gives him, and he's like, here's where I can be reached, please let me know if he does anything weird, and then the camera turns around and it's Narlhotep is the guy.
Oh,
he's
like
yeah
that.
Absolutely, we will absolutely let you know if he does anything weird.
Oh, like, that's great. I figured out what they were. They are the great race of Yith.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's them.
Because I feel like this can also, I think, okay, so here's some things that, like, because we got the list of things that we've already seen. There's got to be a couple that we haven't. So one of them needs to be Gnarlhotep, which, like, I feel like should be, like, washed and then written again, like, three times, because every time Gnarlhotep sees it, he's like, well, that one I don't want in there. Everything else is fine, but not, don't name drop me. Be cool, Hatteras, damn. One thing, it should say Randolph Carter on there at some point. Because I want maybe next year we figure out how to
tie
some stuff in, and then like Yith, and like just a couple,
yeah.
Well, that's
in the Caribbean.
That's the miniseries. So like that'll be on there for sure because it's like you know
we could even do just like H West, just little touches.
Yeah.
Something Dunwich, like Moon, well, it's, question mark.
It's pronounced Dunwich, I think.
Yeah.
But
Miskatonic, same. Just like the word Miskatonic, but no connecting anything.
Well, Miskatonic, if I'm remembering correctly, Miskatonic is where the TV show...
The TV show started there, and also I think the miniseries started there.
That's their, like, the university some people are from. We've definitely referenced it. So, yeah, we can get all those references in, and then, like, a couple things to set some more stuff up, and then see you later.
Yeah.
Which would explain how, like, anytime Clawbunny shows up, it's like, well, how'd you know about this? Oh, well, my friend wrote it on a wall. Like, you know.
I dig that. Okay. Let's see. What else do we need to do? We've been doing this for about an hour. We need to name it.
We do need to name it. I think naming it, because what's it, the Voyage or the Adventures of Captain
Hatteras? The Adventures of Captain Hatteras is the name.
I think we should, like, get rid of adventures because that implies plural and there's really only the one that he's going to be going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Voyage of Captain Hatteras, because then you kind of set up the misdirect of, like, oh, it's about him. Just kidding. It's like Clawbunny's the main character because this guy's going to turn into a MacGuffin. The Voyage can also refer to, like, how he went from a regular person to this, you know, a canary. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of thing. So
I dig that.
That's my pitch.
Okay. So The Adventure of Captain Hatteras?
The Voyage.
Voyage, right.
I like that better because all I was thinking of doing something with the gate and the key.
And that might give away too much.
Yeah. I do like that, though. I wish that if... maybe in other languages we call it the gate and the key. Because, like, yeah, I wanted that, but we don't need a subtitle for it because it's, like, only a kind of a one-off thing. But yeah.
It could also let us, like, use that name inside. Like, maybe there's some sort of organization that is called the Key and they're looking for the gate. Might be a little Ghostbusters.
Maybe, but I mean, you know, gates and keys have been around forever. Mm-hmm. So Ghostbusters just did it kind of the best.
And that might even be how, when the cultists refer, because there are three things that are tied to Yogg-Sothoth: the gate, the key, and the guardian, and it's all of it.
Yeah.
So the cultists could just be talking about the guardian. You know, we're looking for the guardian or whatever.
Wouldn't Hatteras become
the guardian?
Kind of the guardian afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Kinda, yeah.
So I think maybe what we do is we save the phrase the gate, the key, and the guardian for the Lovecraft. The Vern Craft show that, like, ties everything together.
Yeah.
That is sort of like the end game stuff, as like an episode title or something that like refers back to this.
That would be very good. Yeah, I like that. Okay.
Dope.
Dang.
Well, we're at about 57. So
also fun fact, Cthulhu is Yogg-Sothoth's grandson.
Oh, cute. That's why he just wants his grandson to come back and visit him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I just want my grandson to call me, and he won't because of ancient Egyptian seals or whatever.
Ugh.
Kids those days.
Always with their hieroglyphics and not paying attention.
With their hieroglyphics and they're embalming and they never call their grandparents.
They're too obsessed with those hieroglyphics.
So we're at the end, I think, of this episode.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, Matt, I don't know. This was supposed to go up in October.
It will.
So do we want to save this and like put it up like around Halloween to say it was spooky and then have... And then try to get something else out for the first week of November and then get back on schedule from there.
I think that works because if I could just get the first week of November right, if we can just release our guest one.
It is 10 times easier to make a mess than it is to clean it. So, yeah. Like, as soon as things start getting off track, it's, you know,
it just spirals. So. But yes, I like that plan. Release this around. I'm going to put out the last one this week. Then we can do this one for Halloween and then get back on track.
I think the first Friday in November is the first, but we've never done if that's the case. So next one will be
a guest. Provided
nothing happens. We'll have a guest. No idea what we're going to be doing. Guest should be really fun. I got to go ahead and message him.
Yes, please.
Get that sorted out. So
we don't have to roll for anything. We don't really have
to. Nope, I'm closing the random number generator right now.
Yeah. But then after that,
it's ongoing.
Part three. I'm very excited because all I ever want to do is talk about the Greek mythology cinematic universe, and I'm four months closer to that.
Yep. We got to get through the superheroes, the space opera, and then Greek.
Yep. Oh, superheroes is up first, right.
Yep.
Well, I'm excited to see what Alan has to do for that because I got no idea. It's going to be a good time.
It'll be fun.
All right. Dope. Well, till then, I've been Jake.
I've been Matt.
And I'm Alan.
Go ahead.
And you've been rebooted.
Sometimes you just got to lean in.
Sometimes you can't, you know, you can't help it.
You've been rebooted.
Hey, thanks for listening to Hard Reboot. You can find us on Twitter at RebootCast or email us at hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. Alan's on Twitter at Alan_Sells. Matt is at Matt Hoadley, and I am at JJ_Mason. Thanks for listening.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.